Most people nowadays are aware that Wilde was Irish, and that his Irishness played a significant and important part in his life and work. Wilde's father, Sir William Wilde, was a pioneering eye and ear surgeon in Dublin. He was knighted for his work on the Irish census following the famine years. He was also a keen collector of Irish folk tales. And it's been recorded that old men and women who came to his hospital, who asked if they could send eggs or some other form of country gift as payment, he would bargain for a fairy tale instead. Oscar Wilde's mother, Lady Jane Francesca Wilde, was famous for her Irish patriot verses before her marriage. Wilde's own name, his full name, Oscar Fingal O'Flaherty Wills Wilde, gives testimony to his parents' antiquarian interests. These were heroes and warriors of Irish legend and story. It's worth looking at the place of Wilde short stories in his literary career. Until the publication of his first stories in 1887, Wilde's literary efforts were not the most notable part of his achievements. He had graduated with a double first from Oxford in 1878, at the same time winning the prestigious Newdigate Prize for Poetry, but he struggled to find a direction for his talents that would provide the paid employment he needed. Selling a small property in Ireland he had inherited on his father's death, he headed for London in 1879, where he was soon the talk of the town as a witty socialite and bard of the beautiful. His energetic self-promotion bore fruit when the impresario Richard Doyley Cart invited him to give lectures in America ahead of the Doyley Cart Touring Company's New York production of the comic opera Patience, which sent up the aesthetes. The success of his lectures led to a lucrative and greatly extended tour of the United States, and were followed by further lecturing engagements around Britain on his return home in 1883. But in reality, Wilde's flamboyant public persona masks disappointed literary ambitions. His volume of poems of 1881 received poor reviews, and his Russian costume drama Vera, or The Nihilists, flopped when it was eventually produced in New York in 1883. That year, Wilde became engaged to Constance Lloyd, whose marriage settlement from her grandfather's estate allowed the couple to marry and set up home in Tite Street, Chelsea, the following year. Wilde continued his British lecture tour until 1885, but by then he was already writing regular book reviews and articles for the London magazines. His short stories followed naturally from this. The proliferation of popular magazines in this period meant that serial fiction and short stories were suddenly in great demand by editors. Wilde brought out three collections of stories in his lifetime. His first collection of fairy tales, The Happy Prince and Other Tales, was published in 1888. A second collection, A House of Pomegranates, and a collection of his earliest magazine stories, Lord Arthur Savile's Crime and Other Stories, appeared in 1891, the same year as the book-length version of The Picture of Dorian Gray, which itself had its debut in the shorter format of a novella in Lippincott's Monthly Magazine. After 1891 and the publication of The Picture of Dorian Gray, Wilde devoted his main energies to writing for the theatre, where he earned large sums of money for his popular social comedies. But Wilde didn't abandon fiction completely. A collection of six short poems in prose was published in 1894, and these were a radical retelling of the gospel stories. He also planned to publish an expanded book-length version of his story, The Portrait of Mr. W.H., which had originally appeared in Macmillan's magazine in 1889. But Wilde's disastrous libel suit against the Marquess of Queensberry and his subsequent trials and sentencing to 2 years imprisonment with hard labour cut short a flourishing literary career. After prison, Wilde's only major literary composition was his moving poem, The Ballad of Reading Gaol. During his last years of self-imposed exile abroad, he continued to delight his friends with new stories. But all that survives of many of these intriguing tales are only variant versions and fragments recorded from memory by those who heard them told by Wilde himself.